What an amazing God we serve. And worthy is the Lamb. And we've kind of entered into that season where the whole world starts thinking about that baby that was born 2,000 plus years ago. And so what an opportunity we have to kind of get engaged in conversations concerning the Jesus, the Christ that we know. You know, we just experienced this past week, Thanksgiving Day, and we've been talking about this entire month, the theme of Thanksgiving, and all the different aspects of Thanksgiving, how it creates, how it gives gifts, and to be thankful for those things. And we're going to culminate it today with Pastor Bob bringing the message, kind of tying up all the loose ends with Thanksgiving. But I know we have a lot to be thankful for. And in the midst of our Thanksgiving, there's still bad things that happen because we live in a sinful world. Many of you got the email that stated how Eli's wife Catherine's dad died this past week, and she's currently back there attending, well, it was this morning, his service. And so we definitely want to remember Catherine and her entire family and Eli as they process loss. It's one thing about this world. I told my wife, every time we get around our kids and grandkids, it always seems like we're saying goodbye. And in this world, we're always saying goodbye. But that day is going to come to an end. And that's the day we look forward to. That's the day that gives us the hope that we have. And so I just want to invite you to bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, thanking Him and also asking Him for His continued blessings upon us. Let's pray. Father God, we do want to thank You that You are a God of love. Not only a God of love, but a God of intimate love, that You are so intimately concerned and involved in our lives that whenever we experience loss, whenever we have to say goodbye, You feel it. You feel the pain. You as the Father experienced that pain when You said goodbye to Your Son. And as You watched Him go through the things He went through on this earth, the tremendous pain it must have caused You. And so, You are one who shares in our pain and understands our pain. And so I just want to lift up Catherine and her family and Eli this morning, God, and ask that You would give them a sense of peace, be very close to them, knowing that someday soon they're going to see their father again and be able to experience no more loss, no more saying goodbye, no more pain, no more sorrows. And I just want to thank You that as we've come through this season and we've kind of sat around and talked about all the things that we're thankful for and how many ways You've blessed us, that we can have that attitude of gratitude and all the things that brings that we've talked about this past month, how it can actually create a greater attitude of gratitude within our lives as we thank God for all the gifts You've given us. I want to pray for everyone here this morning, Father. Thank You for assembling us today to come together to worship You. We don't come to be entertained. We don't come to be fed. Father, we want to bring You our best. And so we bring You and give You our hearts. We give You our minds this day and ask that You would take our minds and instill those heavenly thoughts in our minds and let our thoughts become reality in our lives. So please bless each one of us, whatever struggles we've had this week, whatever burdens we carried in here with us this morning, may we be able just to shake them off, lay them down at Your feet, and enter into that Sabbath rest as we worship You and praise You. As Pastor Bob brings us the word from You this morning, I pray a special blessing upon him, his family, his son Matthew, and just be very close and guide, and we pray for good health for Matt and restored health. But most of all, we look forward to the day of true day of celebration, true day of Thanksgiving, when we can look up in the clouds and see You coming and say, "Lo, there is our God. For Him we have waited." And He will say to us, "Come in and welcome, you good and faithful servants." To that end we pray and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Anyway, as she was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store, she couldn't find one big enough for her family, and so she asked the stock boy, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" And the stock boy answered, "No, ma'am, they're dead." There's a lot of humor around Thanksgiving. This comes from the classroom. You knew that I couldn't get away with out talking about the classroom. So in the week before Thanksgiving, Mary Jo, the teacher, asked her class of nine-year-olds to write a paragraph entitled, "What I Am Most Thankful For on Thanksgiving Day." Well, Joey took the cake. He said, "I'm thankful that I'm not a turkey on Thanksgiving." He was also ready to ask her her promptings when she said, "Why did the turkey cross the road?" And Joey said, "It was the chicken's day off." Well, then Mary Jo said, "Well, why did the turkey, why do you think the pilgrims sailed from England to America?" And Joey had the answer. He said, "Because they missed their plane." And then Mary Jo thought, "I'll get him this time." And she said, "When did the farmer, what did the farmer get when he crossed a centipede with a turkey?" To which Joey said, 100 drumsticks." Isn't that the best part of the turkey? Now, some of you like that white meat, but I'll tell you, we fight over the dark meat at our home. So, as Dennis said, we've been dealing with Thanksgiving and at this time of the year, and we started our series with Thanksgiving and the Will of God, because the point we were making is we're not only encouraged to give thanks in all things because it is best for us, but it is also the doorway into the will of God. You'll never find the will of God by being critical. You'll never find the will of God by looking at what you lack. You'll only find the will of God as you are counting your blessings. That's the way heaven operates. You give and you create. Giving doesn't leave you with less. Giving is the doorway to more. God knows that most. That's why God is a giver. Is he not a giver? He is not a taker. He said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it" what? Abundantly. And constantly he's trying to convince us that he is a giver. Well, he has a lot to work against because we're not trained to believe that God is a giver. And the second message in our series was that Thanksgiving creates. That one of the reasons we're told to give thanks is it literally creates many things. And then last week we said that if we train ourselves to see the gifts of God, and especially when we see the gift of friendship as one of the greatest gifts that God gives, then our lives are enriched. Well, today, I'd like to turn the tables on you. And I'd like to say that it's just important that we learn to receive thanks as give thanks. Giving and receiving are inseparable. They are like the opposite sides of the same coin. Think about it. If someone isn't offering a gift, then it is impossible to receive a gift. And you may believe that this goes without saying, that it's self-evident. However, the reverse is true and not necessarily easy to apply. Someone may offer a gift, and in a variety of ways, the intended recipient may not receive the gift. In essence, without receiving, the gift remains only an intention, and the failure to receive it prevents the intention from being fully realized. From childhood, we learn not to receive gifts for a variety of reasons. We are taught that to receive a gift will put you in a state of indebtedness to the giver. So to be free, we are taught not to take anything but to earn everything. We are also taught that if we are given something and keep it, then it is expected that we reciprocate with a gift of comparable value. Now, these teachings are not altogether bad. We certainly don't want to raise children to have a sense of entitlement, to believe that they are somehow owed a standard of living. We want to instill in children an effective work ethic, but in many ways, our efforts in this direction make it difficult for us to truly receive. And maybe the greatest difficulty we have is receiving the thanks that God is continuously lavishing upon us. Have you ever really heard God's voice giving you thanks? He is. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And this is going to be a very familiar text to you, but I think this is going to be a way to think about that text that you haven't maybe connected before. At least I hadn't until this week. Matthew 7, verse 7. And it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives." Now, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to qualify that. Everyone who asks, receives. And is the asking in the forming of the words, or is the asking from the heart? I think it's the latter. You can form words into a question asking for something, but not really asking from within. And this is an asking from deep within. When you ask from deep within, then the scripture says, you receive. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then he follows it up with these words. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is trying to tell us that he is constantly giving us gifts. And I would think that the most needed gift we have is to hear the words of thanks and approval that he gave to his first son. Now, I said first son. And you only need to flip back a couple pages in your Bible, if your Bible's the size of mine, to Matthew chapter 3 to see what words those were. Because after Jesus was baptized in chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Thank you, Son, is what he was saying. Thank you, Son. It happened again at the Transfiguration when he said the same words. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Thank you, Son. Now, Do you hear him speaking those words to you right now? Because you are his sons and daughters by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says of you, thank you, my son. Thank you, my daughter. You don't think so? Maybe you don't feel that? But as I open my Bible and I see when someone comes to Christ, all heaven rejoices. They throw a celebration. It all joy breaks out in heaven when one who is lost is found. And it's like God is saying, oh, thank you. Thank you for coming home. I mean, how did that father run to the son in the parable that Jesus told? He ran to him. He did not protect his dignity. He did not stay aloof, asking for the son to honor him. He went running out and honored his son. He went running to him saying, oh, thank you, son. And when the son tried to rehearse his penance, when he tried to pay for this gift of love from his father, the father interrupted, none of that. None of that. No time for that. Only time for me to thank you. We're having a party. Thank you. Do you see God saying that to you? I hope so. I truly hope so. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This week did not unfold like I thought it was going to unfold. I thought, this is going to be a great week. I'm going to have all kinds of time to put together this message. And of course, I envisioned a great PowerPoint to go with it. And thank you, Eli. Okay. We ended up going down to Vancouver to do Thanksgiving down there. Just because Matt was dealing with some of the pain that he's been going through, but he's been well enough, he got well enough, not well, but well enough, for us to put him in the car with his kids, and we brought them up here. And last night I was busy watching the kids, and I don't know who told me, watching your grandchildren is a joy. And yes, I remember it was Patty Hines when she was cutting my hair yesterday afternoon, because I was talking to her about, you know, coming up with the kids and, you know, taking care of the kids for Matt while his wife was working these next few days. And she said, you know, that's not work now. That's not work. There is joy in grandchildren. I said, there is joy in grandchildren and there is fatigue. And this morning, you know, we don't know whether it was an earache or, cutting her teeth, but McKenna, who's just the most beautiful little girl in the world, she woke up throughout the night, and then this morning I got up with her, which, you know, I thought last night, this is coming together in my head. All this message is coming together in my head, and I won't panic. God will be good. And so then this morning, I ended up having to get her because Ann was up with her every couple hours. And so at 7 in the morning, I got up with thinking that's when I'd put the finishing touches on this. PowerPoint, right? Not so. But you know what? It has been a wonderful opportunity for me to affirm my son. As I told you a couple weeks ago, I was going to start doing. And I have had the joy of being able to thank him today. I kissed each one of the kids. I kissed my wife. And then I bent down and kissed my son. And I said to him, "You are a great dad." And he laughed, a kind of laugh that told me he received that. He received that. But there was more joy in the giving of that, I'm guessing, than there was in the receiving of that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Just going on with this idea that God is thanking you. Says Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Do you see him? He's blessing you. Again, he's thanking you. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Now, I want you to get this. You are holy and blameless in his sight. No wonder he thanks you. Because that is how he sees you. And he sees you that way because this is who he is. God does not need to be convinced to see you as blameless and holy. It is his way of being. I want to say that again. Because I think we get our Christian walk all mixed up so easily. When we start feeling indebted to God, let me tell you unequivocally, let me say with great emphasis, that is not from God. When you are operating out of indebtedness to God, God is not accomplishing what he and his being are seeking to accomplish. Now, I know some of you are saying, I know the Bible well enough to know that Paul says, "I'm a slave." I'm a debtor. And he's using a metaphor that we can relate to because we relate in this world to the give and take of currency. But currency does not define God. We can never pay God back. That's the message I see in the Bible. It's impossible to pay God back. And until we accept that, we'll never receive what he's giving us. And so it says, it goes on to say, "In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will." It was his pleasure that we be made sons and daughters of whom he could say, "I am well pleased. Thank you very much." So, and it was all to the praise of his glorious grace. And grace is not earned. Grace is simply received, which he has freely given us. What do you mean freely given? I mean that he's given, truly given, without anything attached to the giving. No owing here. Kind of foreign to us, but he's literally given himself away to us, and we can only receive it, or in various ways choose not to receive it. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ Jesus to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Christ. In other words, God knows that the only way to bring things back together the way he originally created it is to give himself. That is to be what he has always been. A creator and a giver. He can't be anything else. He can't be anything else. So when I say to you, do you hear him saying, thank you, my son. Thank you, my daughter. I'm serious. Last week, we had 125 people here. You know what I saw God doing or saying to each of you that was responsible for bringing people and for those of you that were responsible for welcoming them with open arms? I heard God saying, thank you, my son. Thank you, my daughter. And you put your name in there. He was thanking you for that. When you come to church to praise him and worship him, he says, thank you. Thank you for bringing joy to my heart today. When you think of him in any moment in your life, he says, thank you. Thank you for connecting with me. He's constantly saying, thank you. Thank you. You know why he says thank you? Because he doesn't force you. You understand that? He does not force you to respond. Therefore, when you respond, he can feel thanks in his heart, and you ought to receive it. Because if you receive it, you bring further joy to him. He has the joy of giving, and then he has the joy of your receiving the gift. I mean, I can't tell you how much joy Matt's laugh had for me when he was saying, thanks, I kind of know I am. I kind of know I am a good dad. I think if he could go on and ruin it, he would say, that's probably the only thing I'm good at. Not true. He's telling you, thank you. Now, here's the other side of this that we have to really look at and we have to embrace. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. When we think of this importance of receiving, it cannot be overemphasized. And Matthew 18, Jesus is telling a story that emphasized that. Matthew 18, and let's see. In verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, you gotta not try to fit too much into these stories. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. I don't think that little part is about God. I think that's for us because that's where we can understand what he's about to tell us about God and who God is. And so he goes on. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. What happened here? He gave him a fresh start. He gave him a gift that this guy could not repay. And if we looked at the amount was just beyond his ability to pay. I've heard it put into today's dollars, you know, and it's astronomical. So, and he gave him this, right? Okay. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him by the neck and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? I'll tell you why he did that. Because he was operating under his agreement with God. Or with the king here. Remember what he said? He said what? "Be patient with me, and I will" what? "Pay it back." I think he'd learned his lesson from a little child very well. Nothing free, you earn everything. You owe, you pay. But that isn't the agreement that the king entered into. The king didn't say, "As you wish, I'll give you more time and you can repay me." He didn't say that. He canceled his debt. He gave him freedom. He gave him freedom. And this guy went out in bondage because he had not received the gift that God had given. And when we don't receive the gift that Jesus gives to us, that God the Father gives to us, when we don't hear His thanksgiving on a regular basis, we will go out into the world collecting debts. And we will not go into the world creating as God has made us. We are created in His image to be creators. Creators of good things. You see, what happens when we receive the gift? It's beautiful. God knows this. Giving begets more giving. When it's received. In our world, we say that giving results in our losing. In God's world, He said, "No, no, 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 no. Giving brings more." And if we receive the gift that God is giving us, something will happen within our hearts that cannot happen any other way. You will become a giver as you receive the gift that God is giving you and the gifts He continues to lavish upon you, because it's not just coming to Him and accepting Him into our lives. We've all hopefully done that, but it is walking with Him that He's concerned about, because what is, in the final analysis, what's He hoping to do? He's hoping to bring us all together. He's hoping to restore all things. He's hoping to come back to the garden. He's hoping to recreate paradise lost. And in that paradise, there's oneness. So when He sees you responding to His gifts and then going out and spreading that to others, He takes joy. No wonder He says, "Thank you, James, for giving every Sabbath when you do your worship thing." Because you're blessing Bob. And thank you, I need your voice. And worship team, he's saying thank you for offering your gifts because they minister my words and my love to all the people that hear them. Thank you for doing that for me. When you are concerned about your daughter, he says, thank you for loving your daughter and being concerned because it's a way that my love gets multiplied and hits home. I don't care what we do, what kind of act is done. Didn't Jesus say, if you do it to the least, or if you do the least, if you do what is a little thing, but you do it in my name. You do it because it was birthed inside of you because of my goodness, because of my love, because you are receiving my thanks for you. Then you are doing it unto others for me. And there's no giving outside of God, because you heard Dennis say it. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And that means, and he said it, whenever a life is being blessed in some way, you can trace it back to God. Because he gave first, and his giving multiplies giving. I'd like to end with just a couple of scriptures. You see, if we begin the chapter 18 with Jesus' words in verse 3, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It finally occurred to me what he means. Do you know how freely children receive? No pretense, no, before we jam any appropriateness into their little minds, until we make them politically correct, until we socialize them, until we train them how to navigate in this mean, cruel world, they receive gifts very freely. And you know when you're giving the gift, you love their enthusiasm, the enthusiasm with which they receive the gift. It's fantastic. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't you understand? Receive from me, not just salvation, but receive my ongoing thanks to you. That's what he's saying. Be like a child. And so, I'd like to finish with these words, and I'd like you to take them to heart. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship and daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Thank you. And he says, oh no, thank you. Thank you for coming home. And we say, thank us. Oh, you've given us so much. You don't know how much your response means to me. That's what he's telling you. So we may cry Abba with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Can it get any better than that? You see, in the final analysis, what gets drummed into us as little children, because we leave being little children. And so I've wrestled with what's really going on that makes it hard for us to receive. And you know, I'm reminded of Jesus' statement, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name, but ask and you will receive. And your joy will be complete." But what is it that when we finally become adults, what is it that's going on? And I'd like to suggest to you that this is what's going on. We find it difficult to receive, but not give. Because when you give, you're in control. When you receive, you're done controlling. When you truly receive, you're no longer in control. And that, I think, is why we find it difficult to receive from God. And we need to face that. And we need to be willing to let go of that control. I know that just yesterday, here, I'm having these thoughts, preparing to talk to you about this, and yesterday in the afternoon I get my hair cut, and then I get a phone call from James, and James is reminding me friendly about having my information to him on the computer. I said, you know, I started to explain, and he said, no problem, I know you'll get it to me. And then... I'm signing my little debit card. You know, I had it run my haircut run on the debit thing, and then I'm signing it and trying to talk to James. Do two things at once, never going to happen. And I say, and James probably hears this. I say, "That's not right. Did you hear me say that? That's not right. You didn't? Good." Because you know, I thought I got to end this phone call so I can fight this battle. She charged me $10. For my haircut. Now, I'll tell you, I pay considerably more. Usually. And I get a discount. She's an expensive hairdresser, you know, because, I mean, she is good. And I said, "This isn't right." She said, "No, it's right." I said, no, run it, you know, and she's standing there, and so is the person that runs the thing, and you know, I don't know what you call them there. Jerry, what is that person that stands at the cash register in there? The cashier, is that what you call them? They run the front desk. See, I knew there was a bigger name there for it. They run the front desk, and I said, "Run it again." And Patty trumped me. No. And I could see, James told me. I said, "I'm having a fight with Patty Hines." He said, "You're not going to win that." And it hit me. I'm kind of dull. It hit me. "You having trouble receiving?" Oh. Just say thanks. And I had to give up. And I'm asking all of you, give up. Give up. And just receive the thanks God is giving you for who you are and what you mean to Him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we can't talk about giving thanks without talking about receiving. And we need to be better receivers. You are constantly thanking us
and sending blessings our way, and we miss so many of them because we are so stubborn, because we so seek to be in control all the time. Lord, teach us that it is okay for us to receive gifts, and especially the greatest gift of all, you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. Have a great set.
She spins and she sways to whatever song plays, without a care in the world. And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me saying, Dad, I need you. There's a ball at the castle and I've been invited, and I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. All too soon, the clock will strike midnight, and she'll be